Church, say amen. Amen. Church, say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. We thank the Lord for all who are gathered here today and pray that you've been blessed already. Won't you stand to your feet and turn with me to your Bibles, in your Bibles, to the Gospel, or to the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Not the Gospel of Deuteronomy, but the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And I want to read the last three verses of chapter number 8, Deuteronomy 8, verses 18, 19, and 20. Say amen when you've located the text. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 18, 19, and 20. Amen. The Bible reads as follows, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." Here ends the reading and hearing of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify God's people. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon, "I Believe I Will Testify." I believe I will testify. Let's pray together. Father, may your words not return void, but may they accomplish that which you intended. May hearts be encouraged. May minds be illuminated. May souls be convicted. Father, have your way today. I pray that someone would draw nigh unto thee, and that you, God, will indeed get the glory out of somebody's submission. We plead the blood of Jesus over everyone under the sound of my voice, and I ask, Holy Spirit, that the anointing of the Most High God would fall fresh in this place. We love you and we bless you. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen and amen. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. Ushers, you may be seated. Beloved, on this first Sunday of July, I want to conclude our sermonic exploration of Reverend Dr. Soros' book, D-Free, Breaking Free from Financial Slavery, and remind us about what wealth is and what wealth isn't. I want to talk today about the fact that the devil would have us to focus on things of this world and take our eyes off the things of God. And there is a challenge in the text to us who are believers in the Most High God, that as long as we focus on the Creator and not the creation, that God will always ensure that we are taken care of, provided for, and under His covering. But as soon as we take our eyes off the Creator and focus more on the creation, the wealth, the material things of this world, then we are doomed for failure. And so it is with this D-Free study. We've tried to make the argument, Reverend Soros has tried to make the argument, that the material things of this world are not what is important. And yet, if we allow the material things of this world to gain more of our attention, then again, we are doomed to failure. And so the text today is out of one of my favorite books, if there is one. All these books should be our favorite, but Deuteronomy holds a special place for me exegetically, because it is in the book of Deuteronomy that we see God speaking to the children of Israel before they cross over the River Jordan into their promise. It is similar, as I always say, to Jesus speaking to the disciples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on the Sermon on the Mount before the disciples are getting ready to embark upon their spiritual journey. And as I said a couple weeks ago, we're all sojourners passing through the land. We're all pilgrims making our way. We're all travelers traveling through this spiritual journey. And I believe God is taking all of us somewhere. And I pray that you believe that you yourself are on a spiritual journey, that we are not earthly beings on a spiritual journey, but we are spiritual beings moving through this earthly place towards another place that we do call home, and that is heaven. And so as we make our way there, I do believe God has points of intersection and points of temporary destination that he wants to take us. And yet, if we're going to go further, we need to continue to rely on him and walk by faith and not by sight. Roman Stories makes the point time and time again in his book that freedom from debts, deficiencies, and delinquencies are important, but at the ultimate freedom that we are to experience is in Christ and knowing that we are free from spiritual bondage. And once we realize that we are free from spiritual bondage, then we are able to attain all of those other things that God wants us to attain. So it is that the nation of Israel were on their way from Egypt and captivity in the wilderness, on the way to the promised land. So it was that the disciples were dropped their nets as fishermen, were with Jesus and on their way to become fishers of men. And in either case, God is saying to them, there are some ways I want you to behave, and there are some ways I don't want you to behave. There are some things I want you to do. There are some things I don't want you to do. There are some things I want you to speak. There are some things I don't want you to speak. And this is the demeanor of a child of the Most High God. Moses tells the nation of Israel, as you go into the promised land, don't behave like the Edomites, Moabites, Canaanites, and all the other ites. Jesus says to the disciples, as you embark upon this journey with me, do not be like the hypocrites, do not be like the Pharisees, do not be like those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. There's supposed to be a difference about those of us who are truly called by the Most High God. And so that difference is referenced here in this eighth chapter. Today I want to use these three words to frame the text today for us. I want to talk about the word wealth that is explicitly mentioned in the text. I want to talk about the warning that comes when we put too much emphasis on wealth or material things. And then lastly, I want to talk about the who versus the what that gives us the wealth and the ability to get wealth. Amen, somebody. And so the focus then on the material things, the wealth, the things of this world, is to be supplanted only by the focus on who gives us the things that we have and allows us to have other things that are far more valuable than these material things. Let's look first at the context of the story. Moses is on the plains of Moab and he is preaching one last series of sermons to the nation of Israel before they cross the river. He is already painfully aware that he will not get over into the promised land with the nation of Israel. And yet he preaches and teaches with as much vigor and with as much energy as he would as if he himself were going to lead them over. Yet God has already shared with him that he will not be over in the promised land. The famous adage that Reverend Dr. Dr. Martin Luther King speaks on his day before his death is similar to what we liken unto Moses. I have been to the mountaintop. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. Those are the words that echo from Moses as he is making his way in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we come to some. Let's pause for a moment and just have a word of prayer. Somebody pray with me as we attend to Deacon Colburn right now. Let's pray. Father, we ask right now that you would be with this, our dear brother, that you would keep him as he is in a point of need. I pray that you would step in and do what only you can do. For you are healer, you are Jehovah Rophi, you can do everything but fail. Whatever is going on with Deacon Colburn, Father, you already know about it. And I ask right now in Jesus' name that you, God, will indeed have your way in Jesus' name. Father, bless him now, keep him now, do what only you can do now in Jesus' name. We love you and we bless you. Have your way, God, in Jesus' name. Let the saints of God say together, amen, amen, and amen. Bless the Lord today. Does the wheels roll on that chair? Do we need to get the wheelchair? All right, here it is. All right, saints of God, let's just continue to know that God is able. Amen. Let's give God a praise offering in this place for his ability to care for those who are in need. In the blessed name of Jesus, we know that God is waymaker and God is burden bearer. Bless the name of the Lord today. In Jesus' name today. Let's give God a praise offering. Amen, 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 amen. We know that there but for the grace of God go any of us, amen. And we must always be mindful and focused on the fact that we're all one step away from any kind of challenge, and that with God on our side, certainly all things are possible. Let's trust and believe that Deacon Colburn will be all right. Nurses and our medical team, we've been continuing to prepare for the needs of members of our church who are in need. And we bless the Lord today. Bless you, Janet, for being attentive to the need that was going on with Deacon Colburn. Let the church say amen. We all must continue to keep our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this emphasis on wealth that God talks about in the text, if you look at verse number 18, the scriptures talk to us about, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. I want to emphasize that God does supply our needs according to his riches in glory. He gives us our material needs. Wealth, in this case, I believe, is reflective of the material things that God gives us. If you look in verse number 12 and 13, the Bible says, when you have eaten and are full, God supplies food on your table. When you have built beautiful houses, God put a roof over your head. And when you have your herds and your flocks, reflective of your wealth, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, God supplies us with our physical needs. And I need someone to understand that, yes, he was a roof over your head last night. Yes, he was bread on your table this morning. Yes, he has been clothes on your back to put on your body when you got up this this morning. And so if nothing else, you ought to thank him for the small things in life. Thank him for the provision that he gives us daily. Jesus says, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. How many of you know you have daily bread? You woke up this morning with daily provision. And for that, you ought to give God a praise offering, because even that small stuff was not promised unto you. But many of us take that stuff for granted. It was God that gave us the power to get wealth. God gave us the ability to get the things that we do have. And when we take our eyes off of God and put it on the wealth and the material things, when we are not thankful for the spiritual things and we blame God for the stuff that we don't have as opposed to thanking him for what we already have, I need somebody here to thank God for what you have and stop focusing on the things that you don't have. Because truth of the matter is, you have more than what you think. And although you don't have what you think you ought to have, you ought to thank him for what you do have, for he's worthy of that praise alone. Amen, somebody. The wealth, the material things that we often take for granted. We focus on the things that we don't have as opposed to giving God praise and glory for the things that we do have. And yet in all of this, the text reminds us that God is the one who gives us the ability to get those things. There's the old statement referencing Horatio Alger, the person who pulls himself or herself up by their bootstraps. And I always like to say, when I hear that kind of mentality, yes, there are people who started with nothing and have accomplished great things in their life. But I like to say it was God who gave folk boots even to pull themselves up by. And the adage is really taking your bootstrings and pulling yourself up by your bootstrings. But if God didn't even give you strings on the boots and would not have even given you the boots, and let me just add this, if you didn't even have feet to put the boots on your feet, you wouldn't even have what you have. And so it is not the PhD or the DD or the MD or the JD behind your name. It is the God that gave you life to get it in the first place. It is not because of how good looking you are, how intelligent you are, how politically connected you are. It was God who allowed you to have that stuff in the first place. And God says to the nation of Israel, when you go over into your promised land and you get all your stuff, don't forget the God that blessed you and kept you through it all. It brings me to the second point, which is a warning. The wealth is evident. God wants to bless us. I believe that, absolutely. But it's not just the material things. It is spiritually first, and the material things will follow. But there's a warning that God gives all of us. And I think it is the warning that we've been talking about over these last several months. The danger of putting faith in things. Right? The danger of putting more faith in things and people as opposed to God. And God warns us in verse 19, he says, then it shall be if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. That warning is reflective of verse number 11. Look at what verse number 11 says in the text of chapter 8. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes. How do we forget God? When we put more confidence in things and people than in God. Look at what verse number 14 says. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, I am convinced that the one thing that leads to our downfall is not just putting confidence in other people and things besides God. It is putting confidence in yourself before you put it into God. We can be and often are our own worst enemies. And when we think we've come this far because of us, as opposed to we've come this far by faith, leaning on the everlasting arm. When we think that we have made a way for ourselves and we've done this thing as opposed to God doing this thing, then we are in danger of a fall. Look at what verse number 17 says. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. I know many folk, not just outside of the church, but some folk in the church who really do believe that they've gotten this far because of them. And I just need to remind folk that the danger of pride will destroy any man and any woman. Pride goes before the fall. But as long as you humble yourself and understand that those who humble themselves in the sight of the Lord, then God will lift them up and put them where he wants them to be. James says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. If there's anything I've accomplished, it's because God has lifted me up. If there's any place I've gone, it's because God has made it happen. If there's any accomplishment I've attained, it's because God has allowed me to do it. And I've been quick to say, beloved, I'm not here because of Daryl. I'm here because of God. And I need someone else out there to say, I am where I am. I have what I have. I am doing what I'm doing. I'm working where I'm working. I'm living where I'm living. I'm driving what I'm driving. I am where I am. I am who I am, not because of me, but because of the God that is above me. Somebody ought to give God some praise, because it's not by my power, but it is by his power. It is not by my might, but it is by his might. Come on, somebody. God is worthy. And the danger all of us face is when we rob God of God's glory. When we put more confidence, not only in other people and other things, but even in ourselves. The danger of pride will lead to your downfall. And I believe that has to permeate every aspect of our lives. Our professional lives, our personal lives, our spiritual lives, our financial lives, our relational lives, every aspect of our life. We must get rid of the me and the my and always put God before everything and anybody. God tells Moses to warn the people that it is not by your might and your power that you have and you are where you are, but the warning is that if you forget the Lord your God, then this will happen. You shall surely perish. It sounds like a hard word, but it's a necessary word. Because although perish might not be immediate, I know some folk who are perishing slowly and methodically and over time because they have taken their eyes off of God. When they didn't have anything, they looked to God. When they were nobody, they looked to God. When they were nowhere, they looked to God. But when they got a little bit of something, and they got a little bit of position, and got a little bit of a title, they took their eyes off the prize, and slowly they've been sliding down a place of endangerment. And yet they have to come back to the reality that it was when I was depending on God, that's when God made a way for me. But when I start depending on myself, that's when I begin to slide down the slippery slope of destruction. Perishing does not have to be immediate. It can be slow and it can be over time. I know some folk, and let me tell you, it's almost as if God is giving you grace and mercy over time as you are slowly going down, to say if you just get it right and put your eyes back on the prize, then God will begin to lift you back up. And yet many of us miss the warning signs that God is giving us in making sure that as we sojourn through the land, that we are focused on the things and the places and the people that God wants us to be focused on. And so the text is clear. There is an emphasis that he'll supply our needs. He'll give us the herds and the silver and the gold and the flocks, but only after you've given him yourself. And the warning is when you don't give God yourself, when you are not sold out for the kingdom, then there will be consequences that come our way. Many of us find ourselves in places and we wonder, how did we get there? And the question you have to ask yourself is, did I take my eyes off Jesus? Many of you are in places of hardship and you might have to ask yourself, is it because I've taken my eyes off Jesus? Now, you can have your eyes on Jesus and you still will go through some hardship. For the songwriter says, I don't feel no ways tired, for I've come too far from where I've started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me now. Look at what verse number 3 says. Brings me to my last point of who versus what. Let me go to verse number 21st. It says, as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Verse number 3 says this. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Here's my point. When I'm going through my hardship, and I ask myself, have I taken my eyes off God? If the answer is no, I have not taken my eyes off God, then the other question is, God, are you trying to show me something? And the trying to show me something is trying to humble me. In verse number 3, look at why he humbles you. He's humbled you to allow you to hunger so that he may feed you with manna. Listen now, you may be going through a valley just so God can lift you up on the mountaintop. Some of y'all not getting that message, are you? See, if it's not because you're being punished for taking your eyes off him, maybe you're being elevated because you've got your eyes on him. You're not getting the message, are you? I am convinced sometimes he has to take me out in order to bring me in. Sometimes he has to put me on the rough side of the mountain just in order to let me know that he can move a mountain. Sometimes he's got to put me down in the valley just to let me know that he can raise the valley above my head. Sometimes I've got to go through some hunger just so I can look up to heaven and watch the windows open and manna drop down from you. You're not getting the message, are you? Just because you're in the rough side of the mountain, don't take your eyes off of him, because he might be just trying to elevate you, trying to bring you up a little bit higher, trying to sanctify you a little bit more. Has anybody ever been down in the valley, but you can look back and remember how God brought you up on the mountaintop? Come on, somebody. God tells Moses to tell the people that if you take your eyes off of God, you shall surely perish. But look at what God says in verse number 3. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord. If I look at it strictly in the negative, I would say, God is telling me, as I do to your enemies, I can do it also to you. Come on, somebody. If I can bring your enemies down, don't forget, I can bring you down. But flip that thing around. If I can take care of your enemies and put them under your feet, don't ever forget that I am the God that fought the battle. Don't ever forget, I'm the God that moved the mountain. And what I did for you yesterday, I can do it for you today. I love that part.
Because the fact of the matter is, my testimony is only because I've been through a test, I've survived the test, and now I can look back over my life and tell somebody what God has done for me. Because I've got a test, I can have a testimony. Because I've got a problem, I can have a praise report. Has anybody ever had a problem? Has anybody ever had a test? But look at you now. You've got a testimony. And I don't know about you, but I just made up in my mind, I'm going to testify and tell somebody about the God that brought me through my trial and my tribulation. The testimony is a reflection of the fact that we can tell somebody what he's done for me, he can also do for you. And what I love about this book of Deuteronomy is that God says many times, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget what I've done. But here's the point. Don't forget who I am. Because doing something is one thing, but who God is another. And I don't want us to focus only on giving God praise because of what he's done. Because if he doesn't do anything else, then it intimates that you don't give God praise. But when you have matured enough in your spiritual walk, where your praise is not dependent on your circumstances, but your praise is dependent on who he is. The fact that he is Jehovah Jireh. The fact that he is Jehovah Rophi. The fact that he is Jehovah Shema. The fact that he is Jehovah Tsidkenu. The fact that he is Elohim. The fact that he is El Shaddai. The fact that he is El Adonai. The fact that he is whatever I need him to be. Come on, somebody. Do you know who he is? Sister Linda Pigham saw me between services, and she said, Pastor, I've been through some things. I've had lung cancer, and I'm still battling. I've had some seizures. I'm still battling. And I was trying to discern what it is she was asking me. But finally, she said it. She says, Pastor, there must be another name, because even the names that I know, they don't express everything that I know who he is. And she said, I know he's wonderful. I know he's counselor. I know he's everlasting. I know he's everything. She said, is there something else? I said, let me take you back to Genesis 3:14. God says, when you tell them who sent you, say that I am sent you. I am bread when you're hungry. I am water when you're thirsty. I am bread for clothes on your back. I am a doctor in a sick room. I am a lawyer in a courtroom. I am whatever, whenever, however. Somebody say, I am. Yes, he is. He's whatever I need him to be. I am. He is my I am. He's a very present help. I am. He fought my battle yesterday. He was. He's fighting my battle now. He is. He's going to fight my battle tomorrow. He will be. I am. And I said, probably that's the great name that he wants us to remember. When God told Moses, who shall I tell them? What calling card should I give? What should I tell my boss on my job? What should I tell my enemies in my community? What should I tell my children who are strung out? Tell them I am. I am. I am. I am. Don't ever forget who he is. I am. Let the church say amen. Yeah. Let's give God a praise offering. I am. Deacons and deaconess and clergy. I am he who allows you the power to get wealth. I am. Somebody needs to remember Genesis 3:14. I am. And don't ever forget who he is. He is I am. I love it. He is I am. I am who I am. Bless your name, God. Someone here today needed to hear the word. Stop focusing on the small stuff. It's not about the wealth. It's not about the material things. It's not about the people. It is about I am who I am. And as long as we focus on him, I absolutely believe he will fight your battles and make a way for you in the name of Jesus. I like to say I'm a living testimony. I like to say there are a lot of you who are living testimonies. You know I am who I am in the blessed name of Jesus. So the choir is going to sing. And if there is someone here today who doesn't yet have that relationship, I want to invite you to come. I want to invite you to come and give us your hand and give God your heart. And if you know him already for yourself, to God be the glory. And I want someone, if you don't have a church home, to say, I'm tired of floating. I'm tired of visiting. I'm tired of going hither and yonder. I believe God is speaking in this church, and I need a church home. And so I'm going to submit my will, God, to your will. And I'm going to unite with this branch of Zion. If either of those two apply to you, I want you to step out today. Go ahead and sing choir. Is there one? Is there one?